Well, good morning. Buenos dias. Buenos dias, senores, senoritas. Okay, so the rest of the service is all going to be in Spanish, so I hope you all speak Spanish. No, come on, let's give Jesus a... Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Let's give Jesus some praise this morning. Oh, aren't you glad you're in the house of God this morning? Aren't you glad we have a living hope? Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have a Savior that sits on the throne? Oh, we praise you, Jesus. How many of you can thank you? How many of you here today can thank him for being our living hope? Come on, give it up for Jesus. Yes. Amen. Amen. I don't know. You may be seated. I don't know another place I'd rather be but in church praising him. Hallelujah. We just need to let it out sometimes. I mean, we have it all stored up, and sometimes we want to hide it under a bushel, but we can't hide it under a bushel, because God wants us to bring it out and bring it out into the open. Pastor Rhonda has been teaching us on obedience. Obedience. I know all about obedience. And before I get into to my message this morning, I'm going to tell you a story. In the 1980s, I was on staff at a church in Cherryville, and I came home from work, and I opened a newspaper, and there's a big full-page ad. Tent revival at Calvary Temple. Christ is the answer. Evangelist Bill Lowry. And I thought, yeah. Oh, my heart started beating, and I thought, what's happening to me? I have to go. In the meantime, my husband came home from work, and I said, Roger, look at this. Look at a tent revival, and we have to go. It's for 14 days. And he said, what is wrong with you? He said, you don't know that man. You don't know. It's, and you know, it's a Calvary Temple, and the church that you're with, they're not going to recognize Calvary Temple. And I said, don't matter to me, but I want to go. And I get on the telephone, and I'm calling, oh, Betsy, do you know that there's a tent revival at Calvary Temple? Okay, yeah, let's go. Okay, bye. Oh, Amanda, do you know that there's a tent revival at Calvary Temple? And he said, will you stop? You don't know who this is. And I said, but it's a tent revival. And I know. It's in my heart. We got to go. Reluctantly, he went. 13 of the 14 days. And the only reason we didn't go the full 14 is because we had another commitment. So for 13 days, we sat at Calvary Temple at that tent revival because it was an obedience to the Lord. See, there's different kinds of obedience. The Lord can tell you to take your shopping cart back and place it where it's supposed to be put. That's obedience when you do that. And believe me, sometimes I'm tempted not to, because it's raining or it's cold and I've got to walk a ways to put it back. But the Holy Spirit always says, you know what? Somebody's going to see you do that. Just let it sit here. You better take it back. So I take it back. And then I feel much better. See, obedience. Obedience is key. Obedience is key to follow the Word of God. So we're going to dive into the Word of God today. And you guys all have a Bible? Did you raise your hand if you didn't have one? As we take in these messages, it's time for us to shine. Say that. It's time for us to shine. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm beginning at verse 14. And let me tell you what I told Matt this morning. This does not get any easier. And I said to Pastor Ron, it doesn't get any easier. Anybody who likes the pulpit, here it is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Listen to it again. Awake, those who sleep. This is in my words. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. That's the word. But then in verse 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, But understand what the will of God is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to read that again. You know what? Sometimes you say, well, they're saying the same thing over and over. Well, you know what? If we knew that you got it, we wouldn't say it over and over. Right? Awake, those who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See to it that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Who can attest to that? Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which there is a dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We can be filled with the Spirit and act like we're drunk. Amen. Now turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 60. I'm going to read from 1 to 3. Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. It says, shine, arise, shine. Your light, our light, has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon all of us. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Oh, are we living in a dark world, aren't we? And deep darkness, the people, over the people. But the Lord, it's the Lord will arise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. I know you're thinking, she just read that. I know. I know. My message title today, if you're taking notes, which everybody should be taking notes. I love taking notes in church because I can't, you know. You have to grasp it. It's time to shine. That's my message. It's time to shine. You know, in each day there are 24 hours. There's 1,440 minutes, and there's 86,400 seconds. And every one of them, once you have lost them, you can never get them back. Speaking about time. You know, I'm going to add something here. The words that you speak, very important. Because the ones you speak out of your mouth that are negative, you can't get them back. They're already out there. I'm going to be ministering on words in one of my messages, if Pastor Ron is so graciously wants me to. Every one of them, every word is a precious gift from God. Every tick of the clock records opportunities of life. Isn't that the truth? Every tick of the clock. Time is something we feel we never have enough of. How many of us say, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I never have enough time. Isn't that true? It's something we feel we never have enough of, but yet we give it away so freely. That's another truth. Time is free, but it's priceless. The Bible uses two words to describe time. It uses the word chronos and kairos. Chronos is the extent of time or quantity of time. When I was studying this, I get these two mixed up, so I'm on track this morning. Kairos speaks of the kind of time or quality of time. An opportune time, a unique time, a specific time, a time that is allotted or set aside. And during that Kairos time, God will use that time because it's a precious gift from him. Amen? Amen. And you guys can amen anytime you want. I'm used to that in Mexico, so. A time to shift something. A time to impact something in the life that we have been given to make a difference for the kingdom of God. I'll let you raise your hand. How many want to make a difference for the kingdom of God? Yeah, every hand's going up. Every hand. You have to excuse me because I was sick for 2 weeks, so my nose is kind of. When God opens up a door, especially when it comes to souls, evangelism, advancing his kingdom for his purposes, don't be afraid. And don't be shocked when you face opposition. You know, sometimes when you face opposition, God tells you to do something, you want to be obedient, you face opposition and you back off. That's not what you do. You press in. You go forward. We use the phrase opportunity of a lifetime. I'll bet you everybody in here has said, oh, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Well, I want to say this. Your lifetime is an opportunity. God has given you the opportunity to make a difference, to make an impact. God wants to use all of us to advance the kingdom of God, to set things in motion. With that great opportunity comes great opposition. How many here aren't afraid of opposition? Amen. Amen. Bring it on. You know, we faced a lot of demonic spirits in all our years in ministry. And I'll say to them, come on. Come on. Come on. Bring it on. I'm not afraid of you. Bring it on. And that's what we need to be. That's how we need to be. That's what we need to do. Hey, listen. Be bold, bring it on. You see somebody that's demon-possessed, come on, bring it on. Not going to hurt me. I want to encourage you to hold strong and stand strong. In your lifetime, God has given you the opportunity to be a support to God. Right now, in our church, God has given us an opportunity to be a support to God. When opposition comes, don't fold under the pressure. You know what? Sometimes I have folded under the pressure. But as you grow and as you get wiser and you understand what the will of God is, you don't fold under pressure. You don't give in. You don't back up. Like I said, you say, come on, bring it on. Could it be that the opposition you are in, the very uncomfortable place, is the confirmation of what God is calling you to do? Amen? Think about that. Want me to repeat that? Could it be that the opposition you are in is the very confirmation of what God has called you and is calling you to do? The very thing he wants you to do for him in these last days. Because we don't know. Maybe Jesus will come back tonight. Who knows? I don't set dates. I mean... Just let me clarify something. I'm confident that he is on the throne. I am confident that he is working. I am confident that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I am confident that I don't have to go around, oh my God, did you look at the news? Oh, World War III. Oh my gosh. Give it up. Give it up. Be confident in who your God is. Sometimes I just shake my head. We have to be bold. We have to be fearless, speaking of our faith. And we have to use our mouth. We have to be obedient to God. It's so important to be obedient, even in the little things. If you're thinking that God's going to use you to a great big thing and he's going to tell you something that you need to do huge, you're mistaken. He's going to start you out with the little things. And when he sees how obedient you are with those things, then expect him to do the big things through you. And the other thing is stop questioning God. Stop questioning him all the time. Well, God, did you really say that? Do you really want me to do that? Do you really want me to go to India? God, do you really want me to go to the Philippines and Jamaica and Ecuador? Do you really want me to go to all those places, God? If he said it, don't you think you should say, I'm packing my bag? Amen? James 4:14 says, you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Life is filled with uncertainties. I know all of you can testify to that. And if you haven't noticed in the last couple of years, we're living in uncertain times, very uncertain times. Things changed. Life changed. Stuff happened. Stuff. It's just stuff. It happened. Life happens to all of us. Some things we are prepared for and some things we're not prepared for. And here's the thing I want to encourage you this morning. You have to know that if you are having uncertain times, your faith and trust has to be in a certain God. Say that. My faith and trust has to be in a certain God. My faith and trust have to be in a God that does not change. God doesn't change. Think about this. Everything that's going on in our world, God doesn't change. Amen. Do you believe he's still working? Do you believe he's still on the throne? Do you believe that Jesus went to the cross, the blood he shed? It's finished. As he said, it is finished. What does that mean? All is finished. Sickness, disease, poverty, wars. Now the word says there are going to be rumors of wars. But God doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's always the same. He's the God of the impossibilities. How many possible things happen in your life and you turn it over to God and what happened? They were gone.
It's gone.
Gone. Even if it takes 10 years, that's right. But we're impatient. We live in a microwave society. So we want everything immediately. We want this all to be over immediately. We want the last 2 years to be over immediately. But I'm totally convinced that God is working behind the scenes and we don't have to know everything. We want to, because that's in our makeup. We want to know. I mean, it's just enough that we keep ourselves away from gossip. But we want to know, don't we? But the thing of it is that God never changes. And he can do exactly what the word says that he can do. He's done so many things through this word. And he doesn't change. Times will change. Circumstances will change. Culture will change. Our society will change. Oh, my goodness, didn't the society change? But the one thing that remains the same is your God. Your God. You have a God that remains certain. And in any uncertain times, you have to know that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it and complete it to the finish. Amen?
Amen.
In the middle of uncertainty, I am certain that God is on my side. I am certain that God is for me. How about you? I am certain that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the Lord. I mean in the world. I am certain that the Lord will never leave me or forsake me. Sometimes I may feel like I feel that he's left me. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm lonely. Sometimes I get confused. I have more questions than I have answers. But deep down inside, even when it seems like God is silent, I know that he's never left me. Never left me. We have questions, don't we? We have questions. 2 years ago, something happened. And we have questions. But we don't have all the answers. That's okay, isn't it? It's okay. We don't need all the answers. We just need a trust. A deep trust and a conviction to know that God is real. Jesus is on the throne alongside of his Father. And they are taking care of all things. Sometimes deep down inside when I feel like God is silent, I know he's there. I know he's never left me. If you think I have all the answers, oh, you're wrong. I don't have all the answers. Sometimes I'm a dingbat. I have to look that up on my phone because I'm not quite sure what that is.
We understand.
Yeah, you understand.
Relate.
Yeah. I don't know who I'm to. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but you need to know that your God is certain. If He blessed you once, He can bless you again. If He healed you once, He can heal you again. If He brought you out, He can bring you out again. If He blessed you, He can bless you again. If He prospered you, He can prosper you again. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what people say. God has the last word over your life and my life, and He is a certain God. Say that. God is a certain God. He has the last word over my life. Do you believe that? Whatever He told you, whatever He prophesied to you, whatever it may be, the vision, the dream, it will come to pass because He is a certain God.
Amen.
Amen? The reality of time, the repercussions of time. What do I mean? Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Are you getting anything this morning? Ephesians 5:15. In my Bible, the little words, my spiritual Bible, it says, walk in wisdom. Don't we need that today? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I read this before. Do you remember? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. The text said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, cautiously redeeming the time, because days are evil. Boy, days sure are evil, aren't they? Things sure have changed, but one thing that hasn't changed, you haven't changed. Hopefully you have changed growing closer to God, being in His Word, praying without ceasing. You know, somebody said to me one time, well, praying without ceasing, I can't stay in my room. I can't either. I can't be on my knees for hours and hours and hours. But during the day, when the Holy Spirit leads me to pray for something, I can do that. And that's praying without ceasing. You can pray 50 times a day. That's praying without ceasing. Notice that these days the Bible's talking about would be evil. Evil times. And Paul, in his letters to Timothy, he began to describe these evil times. He spoke of these times as being the latter times. The latter times. Say that. The latter times. Now turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. We're going places. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctors of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Seems like yesterday. Seems like the past 2 years and way beyond that, when people were plotting everything that they were trying to do and going to try to do to us. Listen again. He said some would depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, lies of hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. He is speaking about people falling away. Notice he said deceiving spirits, seducing spirits. One translation said Satan-inspired teachers. CRT. NIV Bible reads this way. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Another one says, doctrines of devils. So in other words, contradictions to the Bible, plotting truth and rejecting parts of it. If that doesn't sound like the days that we are living in. But we have to remember that God's word is not a menu, it's a manual. This is a manual. You don't get to pick and choose what you like and what you don't like. I have to say, if you didn't author it, you can't change it. Wow, kind of hit home, huh? Only God has a copyright over his word. And I don't care what you see, what you feel, what you think, or what you look like. God's word is God's word. This is God's word, and it's forever settled in heaven. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he said there would be perilous times in the last days. Know this, I do believe we're in perilous times. But we have to fight. As Christians, as the churches of Jesus Christ, when are they going to awake? When are the churches in this country going to awake to the truth of the Word of God, preaching the Word of God from the pulpit, declaring what's truth and what are lies? Because we need to know the truth. I want to know the truth. I don't want to hear what somebody thinks. I want to know what the truth is. What's going on in our country? What's going on in Ukraine? I want to know the truth. Amen. I don't want to see pictures from Syria. I want to see and know the truth. And I don't want to condemn anybody who is trying to set other people free and hearing lies about some of these things. Yes. I just don't want to do that. And it sounds like doom and gloom, doesn't it? Doom and gloom, every day, doom and gloom. But we have the light. We have the shining light of Jesus Christ to shine through us. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. Let me begin really at 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Read it. Read it over and over and over. It speaks of compromising times where people will not want solid doctrine. Today's compromises will end up in tomorrow's captivity. You compromise today, you give yourself a chance for an open door for the devil to put you in captivity tomorrow. People who used to have standards, morals, values, somewhere along the line have watered them down. They have lowered them. A standard is not something you live up to, it's something you refuse to live beneath. We think, well, I want to set a standard and I want to live up to it. Mm-mm. A standard is something you refuse to live beneath. Lifestyles. Justifying actions. Well, it's not that bad. It's not that bad what they're doing. It's not that bad what they're doing. It's just a little lie. It's just a little sin. A little? A little leaven leavens the whole lot. Yep. Small compromises block big blessings. Amen? Yep. It's just a matter of time till you compromise big things if you compromise the little things. You either draw near to God or you draw away from God. One of the two. There is no middle ground. Paul is writing to Timothy, and it sounds bad, doesn't it? But he is saying, these are the times we are living in, and hear what I'm about to say. Now, don't throw any tomatoes at me. What we read was not for the world. Oh, no. He was describing church folk. Church folk. Paul was writing to Timothy concerning the congregations he was serving. This is what was happening to church people. Oh, my goodness. Churches closed down 2 years ago. I don't know even if some are open yet. Couldn't sing. Couldn't sing because you might have spit on somebody. Wrong. It's wrong. It was wrong. Liquor stores were open. Yep. Lowe's was open. Walmart was open. But churches were closed. It's disgusting, isn't it? When you think about it, maybe in the very beginning it was comfortable being at home, sitting on the sofa, getting out, you know, having coffee, tea, or whatever, and sitting there with a snack and listening. And then your phone rings and you can answer your phone because you can catch up later to see what the pastor said. Maybe it wasn't that important in that section. But God took notice. Yes, he did. And I'm telling you right now, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to rise up. If the Church of Jesus Christ rises up, this garbage is gone.
Yes.
It's gone. He was describing church people. Paul was not coming to excite fear in Timothy. He was coming to encourage him. He said, endure hardship like a good soldier. Stand your ground. Stay in faith. Don't forget the prophecies. Just because things aren't happening doesn't mean that God is not working. Just because we hear all the negative doesn't mean that God isn't working. Do you think that we need... All right, I'll put it this way, something that you'll understand. If my family is going through situations and challenges, isn't that, and I'm working on it, isn't that private for me? Well, it's private for God if he's moving in a direction that he doesn't want us to know about yet. Do you understand that it's important that we trust him? In these times, it doesn't mean that he's not working. We see all this stuff, all these lies, and we let what a few people do and what society does keep us from what God is calling us to do. Do I need to repeat that? What society out there is doing should not keep us born again, spirit-filled Christians from doing what God has called us to do. We can't walk around, oh my God, do you hear this is happening? No.
That's right. Amen.
We stand up for truth. We stand up for righteousness. And when God tells us to do something, we need to be obedient to do it. If there was ever a time that people needed a gospel, it's in these days. If there's ever time people need to hear about Jesus and about, oh my God, I'm getting all upset up here. If there's any ever time that people need to be about Jesus, it's now. The nations of the world need to hear about Jesus and a place called Calvary. You know, how many people in churches today have been there, I've done that, I've been in Mexico. When we first started in Mexico, we went with this missionary. We thought, oh, he was God on earth. Well, let me tell you, we learned quickly, it wasn't God on earth. And he would take us back these roads in Mexico, and for a long time I thought the only thing they had to eat was beans and rice till I lived there for 7 years. They had the best yogurt in the world. And they have everything. You can get everything. The best fruits, vegetables, everything. But I didn't know that because he wasn't showing us that. Look at there. There's a dirt road. Let's go. So we go sailing down the dirt road with his pickup truck. Well, these people in the villages all knew his pickup truck. He was there 2 days ago with another group of people with a pickup truck full of clothing and beans and rice. And we'd buy beans and rice in town, and we'd go down there, we'd make beans and rice Christians. We'd be there, and he pulls the truck up, he backs up, and Everybody comes running because they know they're going to get something. We have to start giving instead of wanting to get all the time. And we'd be there and preach a 10-minute message. And the cameras are rolling. It's very hard for me to take pictures. I mean, we have a good team in Mexico, and they sent me pictures. But for me, because of that reason. And they'd be rolling with their video cameras and everything. And they'd say, well, who wants to receive Jesus as Lord? Oh, hands went up all over the place. And we'd be so excited. Look, 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 look at all the people we got saved. They got saved last week, too. And then we got smart. They wanted the beans and rice. They wanted what we had. But then on the other hand, I can tell you we were into villages where you had women come up and you had a black plastic bag and you reach in and you give them a piece of clothing to wear. And then the next person would be a man and you'd say, all you could do was say, God, God help me. Angela and Jeff, no, they were in Mexico with us. Listen. And you say, God help me, and you reach down into the bag, and out comes a man's shirt. Only God. Only God. See, in the last couple of years, all of us have done a lot of things wrong. If we admit it. We didn't trust God like we should have. We didn't speak up like we should have. If the Church of Jesus Christ would have spoke up like we should have, I'm not talking about my church, this church. If they would have spoken up like they should have, instead of running around just giving praise to Black Lives Matter. Oh, shouldn't have said that maybe. That's the truth. It is the truth. But if the church would have done that and spoke up, where would we be? Amen. It's time to speak that we have a living hope, a savior, a deliverer, a healer. People need to hear it, and they need to hear it now, especially now. Amen. And what he was saying to Timothy is this: this is your time. Nancy Rinker is saying to you this morning, this is your time. You're not very excited. This is your time. Amen. This is our time.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's okay. Jesus suffered. He took. He took.
All. You get put needles in you. You get punished. You get poison put in you. You do all kinds of stuff. You even talk God's word in there, and you get punished.
I'm not afraid of getting. And I'm not afraid to get punished for it because I was in India and we stopped at places. Well, and I understand that because those are the days and the doctors that we have had to put up with for the past 2 years. So I totally understand. I do totally understand. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that memory that you have in your mind will be released in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that May will walk in strength and love and help her to love and forgiveness for those people because it's through forgiveness that our healing comes. And I pray for you, May, this morning that God's blessings be upon you and that those memories that you have in your mind that Jesus Christ himself will take and he will nail him to a cross, the cross that he was nailed to, and that you will be totally set free in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Jesus even talked to the doctors.
Amen. Amen.
16.
So,
6 to 7 doctors right in front of me.
But remember what I just, remember what I just prayed. I prayed for you to have forgiveness and for that to be released from you, but now you have to receive it. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is in the house today.
Amen.
He is saying, this is our time. This is our time. That's why we are serving. That's why we are going to classes. That's why we are learning. That's why we are praising our Savior. It's time for us to shine like never before. It's time for the church of the living God to stand up and shine. It's time to take control of the circumstances in our life that keep us from serving Him. There are circumstances in our life. We don't want to get out of bed early, or we don't want to serve because maybe we don't feel qualified. Jesus qualifies all of us.
Right,
all of us. This is not a time to draw back. It's a time to learn. It's a time to be a powerful witness for Christ. Away with the media. Go ahead. Away with the media. Away with the naysayers. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And we are going to keep preaching it. We are going to keep proclaiming it, and we're going to keep living it right here in this church.
Amen.
I keep writing my checks out. What do I write? Word of Faith Church. I did it again today. What can I say? Every week I put Word of Faith. So I just need some Christians in this house today to praise the Lord right now. Right now. Praise the Lord. If you praise the Lord, if you praise the Lord, I'll move on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, the devil thinks it's his time. Turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 12. Verse 12. Revelation 12:12 says this, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short."
Yes, it is.
That his time is short. See? He has a short time. His time is short. So he comes to all of us with great wrath. Let me say this. Is the devil more conscious than the church?
Probably.
You know why I say that? Because he's doing everything to get people into hell.
Yeah, that's right.
Are we doing everything to get people into heaven?
No.
Think about it. Think about it. I'm talking about all of us. All of us in this room, you have an urgency for heaven. Do you? Do you have an urgency for heaven?
Yeah.
An urgency for the eternal? An urgency to realize that these are not normal times? These are times that God, if ever he needed all of us, his people and his church, it's right now. In Ephesians 5:15-16, we read this before. It says it's up to us to redeem the time.
Amen.
To buy up the opportunities that others have thrown to the side. What others throw away, we take up.
Amen.
Redeem the time, because the days are evil. But how do we do it? The way to do it? I'd like to tell you, I don't like to suggest things unless I tell you, give you an answer. Right? Roger always says in his leadership things, if you have a challenge, don't bring the challenge to me unless you have a solution for it.
That's right. Good idea.
So, how do we do that? We redeem the time because the days are over, and the way we do it is not to be unwise. Not knowing what the will of God is, that's being unwise. You have got to know what the will of God is, and you have to obey and know what it is. I have to know what's in this word. And that's how I can redeem the time. Some people say, I just want to know his will. I just want to know his will. I hear it all the time. I just want to know his will. I just want to know his will. You know, it's not going to fall out of the sky. If you want to know his will, here it is. You have to read his will. But then you have to believe it. You have to walk in obedience to it. Even if God tells you to do the most ridiculous thing in the whole world. He told me to go to that tent revival. I didn't know who it was. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know. But he preached hellfire and brimstone, and I needed it. And after the last night there, because we were debating about going on the mid, this is way before we ever went on a mission trip. And the last night, he said, if you're here tonight and God is calling you, I want you to come up here. I gave Roger one of these, and I said, well, are we going to do it or not? He said, well, I guess. We went up there, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and there was a girl in a wheelchair, and he said, told everybody to stretch your hands forward, and I stretched my hands forward, and I felt like I was going out. And when I got up, Bill Lowry, the evangelist, came down and said, the Lord just told me you're to go to India with me. When? In 2 weeks. How much? Everything we had in our savings account. Could I get off from the church? Could we weren't supposed to be there anyway, according to the pastors. We weren't supposed to be there. And so we said, well, when and how much? 2 weeks and everything we had in our savings. And I remember that Roger got up. Of course, he's so obedient. Not me. Let me just tell you this. We had a friend, and he's not with us anymore. He's in heaven. But he would say, he drew this figure, and he said, okay, this is a boat, and here's the water, here's the boat, and Roger's out walking on the water, and Nancy, you know where you are? You're in a boat with 1 foot touching the water and 1 foot in the boat. And that described me perfectly. So I was doing wedding flowers for a couple that he was doing their wedding, and they came to the house, and Roger said, well, we're going to India. But I got to call the travel agent. The travel agent's in California. So Roger got on the phone, and he couldn't get the person. I said, saved. So the guy that was there, he said, I can't believe. Nancy, are you going to be disobedient again? Whoa. Yeah. Does it hurt me right now? That morning, he went to work. And when he went out the front door of our home, which we built ourselves, he said, I'm calling the travel agent. And I put the covers over my head. I said, I don't want to go to India. I was at work at the church at 12 o'clock, around 12 o'clock, the phone rang. And I picked it up, and this woman said, I'd like to speak with Nancy Rinker. And I said, this is she. And she said, this is so-and-so from such-and-such travel agency. Congratulations, you're going to India. I didn't know if I should pass out or throw up. Oh, my gosh. Well, then he had to tell his boss, because he was working, that we were going to India. Church was no problem. But he had to go to New York for visas. So he called his boss, told me, I got good news and bad news. The bad news is I won't be in tomorrow. I got to go to New York for visas. We're going to India in 2 weeks. That's the good news. Okay. So we go over there. In obedience to God. And we landed in Bombay. And it was hot. It must have been over 120 degrees. And the stench was gross. And Bombay. And the evangelist had all this camera equipment with him. And they wouldn't let him in. And when we first got off the plane, it was a culture shock. Because there they are with machine guns. And it's like, oh my God. Are you sure you told us to do this, God? 8 hours in tribal country. We traveled in a van. He slept 3 discs in his back. And bathroom? And you stop. Yeah, ooh, Pastor Rana. You stop, and there they are, sitting along the road. Oh, but I got to go to the bathroom. Boy, I guess you got to go here. Okay. Well, they're doing their thing, so they ain't going to see me anyway. So we get up. We get up to Chinchipata Christian Hospital. And it was filthy, dirty. We stayed at the doctor's home where the rats were. And at nighttime, the girls from the team, they slept on the floor and you'd hear. They were chasing the rats away. We went, oh, now remember, obedience. We went over to the hospital. The doctor that we were staying at his house, you think it would be okay? The tub was as black as a cover on the keyboard. And it was hot, and the sewer ran right outside our window, and there's no air conditioner or any fans, so you have to keep the window open. Kathy, don't get sick, we'll get your bucket. And the thing of it is that we go to the hospital, and we go through, and they have all these IV bottles and everything laying all over the place, and there's people laying outside, and their families are taking care of them. And I'm talking about obedience. And we start walking, and Roger said, he's in pain. He said, stop. Back up. What are we doing? There's a snake there. A big green snake. It's a one-step snake. It gets you, and that's it. You got one step.
This was in the hospital.
Yeah, in the hospital. Yeah, so we back up. We find another door. We get in there. Now listen to this one. Here comes this doctor. He's blind. Nothing against the blind people. Blind. It's Roger's doctor.
Oh my God.
A blind Indian doctor. One word. Obedience. I got lots of stories like that. But we have to move on. I just want to know his will. I just want to know his will. Huh? Oh, no, that wasn't his will, because it doesn't fall out of the sky. Why is that important? Because his word, this is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in dark times, you need something to light up the path you were on. The will of God is found in the word of God. I got a ways to go. Is it okay if we're here another hour? And it's just
obedience.
In a society that's full of lies, full of deceptions, we need to know the truth of God's word. This is the word of God, forever settled in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
The person of Christ will get you to heaven, but the principles in this word will help you to live on earth. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone. It is not time to not be in the word on a daily basis. It's time to shine. There are many voices lying out there right now, lying to us, lying to our children. Every day kids are coming home from school with something somebody said at school, twisting the word of God. When you know the will of God, you can say, no, 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 that's not right. The devil's a liar. It seems like every day it's something else, isn't it? Something else. Transgender sports. Who in the world? A man. Woman of the year. Are you kidding me? My friend lives in Arizona. And I talked to her last week. And her neighbor's son is a Marine. And he was deployed. And she said, well, can you tell me anything that's going on over there? No, Mom, he said, I'm really sorry, I can't say a word. He said, but I will tell you this, do not listen to the news. Double check everything that you hear, everything that you see. It's most likely it's not true, most likely. We desperately need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit gives you a lasting joy. an overflowing joy. You're overflowing with the Spirit of God. You have boldness. You can have courage. Courage comes to stand up for truth. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to discern truth in these days so that we can shine. How are we going to shine if we believe the lies? The responsibility after we're redeemed, Isaiah said, is to rise and shine. That means to come up, come out of a place of complacency, a place of mediocrity, a place of resignation. It's time for us to come up out of a place of being passive.
That's right.
To be passionate again. How many want to be passionate again? Passionate about the things of God. You know, in a couple weeks, we're going to celebrate Palm Sunday and Easter. Everybody's passionate then. Well, 2 weeks later, where'd it go? Where did it go? We need to be passionate about the things of God, passionate about church, passionate about souls. When you shine, you are not shining for you, but you're shining for Him. Question. You don't have to answer this. Your heart will tell you. Are you just as passionate today as you once were? Do you love Him more today than when you first met Him? It's easy to drift and go through the motions. Hey, sometimes I do too. I'm not perfect. If you think I am, oh man, you are so wrong. So wrong. Not perfect. This is nerve-wracking being up here. If you see me travel back and forth there, it's because of nerves before the service. I said to Matt this morning, never gets easier. Oh, I said, you always say that. I said, that's because it doesn't. I said to Pastor Ron, it never gets easier, does it, Pastor Ron? Never, never. Do I have the right message? Are they going to receive from the Lord today? Not from me, from the Lord. I feel like it's what God told me to tell everybody. But is it for them?
Yes.
It's easy to drift, and it's easy to go through the motions, but that's a dangerous place to be. That's a place of lukewarmness, according to God. What God needs in these days is a passionate church, one on fire for Him, one that is so passionate about worship, passionate about praise, passionate about His presence. Here's what He said, it's time. He said, arise and shine. It's time for my church to shine. In Matthew chapter 5, turn there. I think this is our last scripture. Chapter 5, 13 to 16. Believers are salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, in the beginning it says, a city on a hilltop cannot be hid. What it speaks of is in the Bible, the cities would be elevated on hilltops for visibility. Churches and cities are elevated in Israel on hilltops for visibility. What God is saying is, your elevation is my visibility, not mine, God's. The reason why I will bless you, the reason why I will elevate you, is when you shine, you are not shining for you, but you're shining for me. So when people see you blessed, when people see you prosper, see you with influence and impact, they realize it's not you, but it's me that elevated you. We see this with Esther. Love the story of Queen Esther. My favorite. You have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Let that get in your heart this morning. You are in God's kingdom for such a time as this. A time as this, Mordecai said. But he said, Esther, it's not about you. Not about you. That elevation, that prospering, that blessing is not for you. It's for God shining through you. There's a whole city, a community, a people that is depending on all of us to shine. people who could be lost, we are living for such a time as this. It's not about us. Let our light so shine that people see our good works and glorify our Father God. It's a light that illuminates the good works. It's not good works unless it's God work. God works. And the reason why it's good works is because of the work that God has done in you. That's why it's good works. He did good works in you, and now he's going to do good works through you. What the light does is you have a receiver. You have to be a receiver before you can be a reflector. Now get that. What the light does is you have to be a receiver before you can become a reflector. Christ is the light of all men. Jesus is the light. We are just reflectors of the light. You know, the moon is not the light. It's a reflector of the light. And the only way the moon has light is because it's in the presence of the S-U-N. The only way we can arise and shine to a broken world, is that we are people who remain in the presence of the S-O-N. Yes. Amen? Amen? His light from his presence, his light from his word, his light from the house of God, his light from fellowship, his light from encouraging one another. And only then, the Bible says, the Gentiles will come to that light. And the kings. Jesus said, harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. You know, if we get on fire for God, sinners will come to see us burn. Amen? Amen. So when people see the real light, they are going to come running. We need to be a guiding light, a church shining forth with the character of Christ. They will start coming because they want to know what it is that makes you all shine. I know you are not flawless. I know you're not perfect. But I see how you treat each other. I see how you love each other in the Word of God. What is it about you that you can have joy even through a bad report? You are confident, strong, not panicking, but standing, letting your light shine. You may be somebody's only Bible, the difference between life and death. So this morning, stand to your feet. I want you to say this. Lord, use me to shine your light everywhere I go. Help me to rightfully reflect you. Help me to use my life to show you and reflect you like never before from this moment forward. You know, I believe there are people this morning whose hearts have been stirred. There is more to life. There is more to your life that God wants to use. Yes, there is. Maybe you felt like quitting. Maybe you're like most of us, so tired. So tired of the news. So tired of the fear in the world. So tired of so many lies. Don't give up. We can't give up. Don't quit. God is counting on all of us. It's time for you to become a receiver so you can become a reflector. Maybe you need boldness. Maybe you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need your light to shine brighter than before. Maybe you need courage. Maybe you need to get rid of fear. It's time, church, for all of us to stand up. If that's you, and you want us to pray for you, if we have to move back the chairs, we'll move back the chairs, because this invitation is for everybody in this room. And everybody in this room should be up here, because there's something that's going on in your life that you need encouragement for. So if that's you, on the count of three, I want you to move out of your seat, and I want you up here in Jesus' name. It's time, church. We're not playing games. This is time. This is time for God to answer your prayers. If I have some prayer people, look, I don't beg anybody, but I know that everybody in this whole house should be up here. Because I know that not all of us are serving God the way we're supposed to serve God. And we can fool ourselves, and we can fool other people. But God is in this house, and He sees. He sees your heart, and He sees you. And this is not to condemn anybody. But if you're here and you need a fresh filling of His Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth and all righteousness, yes, we need the truth. But it starts right here. It starts right here. Right with us. So we don't have any music. We don't have anything. But before we start to pray, I want you to line up. Because it's much easier when you line up than if you... Barry, can you move that stuff out of here? I want you to stand in a line because God does a lot of things when we have lines of people. The Holy Spirit moves upon it. But before we do that, I know some of you know this because I usually end with a song, don't I? Well, my song today is a children's song. And I'm sure you all know it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that you're going to move in this house this morning. I thank you, Father God, that when we place our hands on these people, Father God, Lord, that they will receive exactly what they need, what they're up here for. Father, I know that you see all their hearts. I know, Father, that you are concerned with each and every one of us. I know that you are concerned about the things that we're concerned about. But, Lord, help us to lay those concerns at your feet today, Father, knowing, Father God, that you are always in control. You have never, ever, ever been out of control. You have always made the impossible possible. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you, Father God, that this is a day of change. This is the day that we shine. This is the day that the brightness from Jesus Christ, from the throne of Almighty God, inhabits this place. And Father, I thank you that your will be done, and whatever you want done will be done in Jesus' mighty name.